because I know you're a progressive.
Yeah.
Hello. When it comes to technology, you're very open-minded.
You know, I am. I love technology.
Right.
Let me say the date. Hold on a sec. Tuesday, October the 17th, 2023. This is the Fakeologist Show. We're back from vacation. Hello.
We made it through Friday 13th.
We made it. I made it over the border. Thank you.
Really? Where'd you go?
I made it over the border. We went to
Detroit?
Tennessee. No. I'm not going through Detroit.
Did you visit Graceland?
Yes. Yes, I did.
It's very modest, isn't it? It's not a big place. You know, I was surprised. Elvis didn't live particularly, he wasn't like one of these Beverly Hills
types.
It's a very modest house, isn't it?
He could have been the real deal. Graceland was named after Aunt Grace, who was the aunt of the original owner. I think that was her land that they built it on. And he paid $100,000 for it in whatever year it was. He was 21, so that would have been 56 or 7. And he put $1,000 down, according to legend.
Wow.
So there you go. And one of the...
What was that, like?
Yeah.
1960 something.
He was 21 or 22, I think. Okay. I think. So he was born in 35. He was, you know, for all Elvis fans know when Elvis was born, for God's sakes, January the 15th or something, 1935.
How old was he when he hooked up with 14-year-old Priscilla over in Europe?
He didn't do anything for 5 years, he said, or six years.
That's the claim, right? Even though she lived with him, right?
I don't care that much about all that crap.
I wonder what Jerry Lee Lewis would have to say about that. They crucified him for marrying his 14-year-old cousin, right?
Well, I don't think it wasn't a big a deal back then, according to everyone. This is Fake All. This is Lynn Ertel on the line. Lynn Ertel is our regular co-host on Tuesdays, and she runs our Facebook page at fake11.com/Facebook. And
that's the place to go on Facebook. It's the place to go.
I gotta admit, I haven't been there in 2 weeks because I didn't really look too much at the internet. I did follow the news the day I left. I guess this whole Israel psyop started off, and it was a couple days before I started to hear about it. And that's sort of the good part about being on vacation, not having to look at all these things. But I did look into it a little bit. And
yeah, I should report, we now have, this is the thing. I have this argument about the technology with people. Just, social media, it's evil, it's evil. No, it's not. The technology itself is potentially amazing and fantastic in terms of the way it can connect people.
Well, a knife is evil.
Right. It's a neutral. The technology itself is neutral. And one of the indicators of that is that I'm trying to run an exemplary Facebook group. What a Facebook group should really be like.
And it's up to 68 members, by the way. So it's growing slowly.
Right. We're looking for quality. We're looking for quality, not quantity.
Yeah.
Because we want to elevate the level of discourse. Keep raising the level of discourse, more and more rigorous examination of the world around us, and with an emphasis on fakeology, obviously.
Yeah.
And one of the key indicators I've seen is that now apparently we are attracting individuals from the Spanish-speaking world, from the Latino world.
Oh.
Why is this strategic? Why is this so critical to us strategically? Because over half the population on this side of the, you know, I don't want to say hemisphere because I'll offend the flat earthers. But, you know, between, you know, Latin America, Mexico, and I just really got to include Brazil in that. They don't speak, you know, English is not their native language. And that is an important constituent. You know, we got to think globally. We really do. And fakeologists, we should have a strong, strong fakeologist and auto hoax contingent in Latin America, in the Latino countries. We really should.
Yeah.
Because it's strategic. So I'm really gratified to see that we've got at least a few native Spanish speakers who are showing up.
Okay.
I think that's great. You know, I want to see native German speakers. I want to see, you understand, you know, I want to see people from Africa. You know, you've complained about the fact that we don't get anybody from India. on Fakeology? You think maybe we're being blocked over on the Indian version of the internet?
Yeah, I know. By the way, I sent out text messages tonight. It should have worked. It just does. It comes from a funny number because the 810 number didn't work. So I changed the numbers. That did work. And FakoTube should be live. I see that Lost Spider Phallus is in the house and he's on the YouTubes. And you keep trying FakoTube, but oh, Lost Spider got the text. And he said if I texted him, he would join the audience. So there you go. So if you want to send me your phone number at send me an email at im@fakeologist.com, or you can text me at 810-666-1984. Send a text to the show number 810-666-1984, and I will add you to the list, and it should work. So I know a lot of people don't check their email. A lot of people don't check anything except their text. So welcome to everyone. Jay Izzet is in the house. He says he loves Lynn. So there you go. We like Lynn too a lot. So
I'm for letting the contributors, the people that donate, and I agree with your value for value approach, and that means that the people that pony up, in a way, should set the priorities and drive our discussion, even if it's subjects we're not comfortable with, especially if it's subjects we're not comfortable with, like that infamous third rail of American politics.
Which one is that? There's so many.
The JQ.
Oh, right.
Right. And we know, the Holocaustianity issue that among other, there are all like race is kind of a taboo issue too. And so we should be willing to, in other words, I'm saying it's really your most devoted listeners and followers and supporters who should be setting our priorities and driving our discussion, because after all, we do believe in real democracy here, don't we?
Well, I don't know what I believe in anymore. I believe in almost nothing. But, I've been listening to the No Agenda show, and that's one of the reasons I like talking to you, because I know you listen to the No Agenda show, too. And they're having a little tricky time with this latest Israeli hoax, this simulated war.
Right.
They're having problems with tiptoeing around. Everyone's having problems with it except the Fakeologist show. I haven't really talked about it because I've been away. IPS, I think for the most part,
is tackling it. Yeah, he's tackling it. I got to say about him, he's not avoiding it. He's confronting it head on.
Yeah.
I felt like he was dodging the border migrants issue. And when I got on with him, I kind of raised that because he is there right there in New Mexico.
Right.
He has a very, very different view of it than a lot of us out here. He thinks it's a sort of contrived political football, that it's not the crisis that people think it is. He thinks the numbers are exaggerated. He thinks there's a historical precedent for people moving back and forth across the border and that it's really being manipulated and used. That's his perspective. And of course I challenge that because I am sensitive.
Do we even think there are 2.5 million people in Gaza? Do we have any way to verify that?
That's a great question. That's a great question. And I started a thread, couple of threads over there in the Facebook group on the 40 dead babies meme. Okay.
Right.
You know, IPS is always stressing how
two burnt drumsticks. That's pretty gross. Yeah. With a lot of sauce on them.
Yeah, that's actually what that's Jimmy Dore. And
he generated those on AI?
No. Jimmy Dore put out those pictures that I've posted of the drumsticks are stills from a video by the Jimmy Dore show.
Mm.
Jimmy Dore being sort of a very, very left, one of the holdouts.
Do they even allow pictures of aborted babies in the United States anywhere in front of abortion clinics? Is that allowed in the land of the free? So how?
I don't know. There may be social media platforms. I don't know. Will Twitter allow you to put things like that out there? I mean, here's what we were told.
There's still a lot of porn on Twitter because half my followers are just porn spammers. Sometimes I click on my followers and I get porn. So there's hardcore porn hiding behind every other profile.
I see that kind of thing. Bots on Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I've said, well, this person likes what you said. And it's usually a weird name. And I'll go out and look, and there'll be nothing there. There'll be no profile there. There'll be no timeline. And that's a bot for tracking. And it makes me wonder if I'm being shadowed.
And
who's being allowed to...
Exactly. Let's talk about the atrocity prop. Let's talk about the babies. But before we do, let's play this quick video. I think you'll remember who this guy is. And let's play a little bit of this. I think you'll know what I'm talking about because you remember all this. Let me just get past the beginning here and play away.
You're going to play Nayara? Nayara?
You got it.
All last week, there have been re-examinations. Among the names that have reappeared is Nayara.
Yeah.
It's been said many times, in war, the first casualty is truth. Does it apply to the Gulf War? The fact of Saddam Hussein's aggression is beyond dispute.
No, it is. It isn't beyond dispute. they always put a lie in with some truth. Even 60 Minutes, you know, 60 Minutes was, they were not saintly, but it was the best simulated investigative reporting TV show ever.
Well, they exposed Mike Wallace on 60 Minutes exposed the 1976.
Swine flu
vaccine fiasco.
Now, did he? Yeah, I know. That's a very famous video in the anti-vax community. The question is, was he guardrailing or gatekeeping at all in that? Because
probably.
So they give us some truth. So this Nayara thing. This came out. It says here on January 10th, 1992. When did the Gulf War actually start? 1990
IPS is saying that it's almost 33 years
today,
but I don't think that's quite right, but maybe.
You mean the release of the...
Yeah, he's saying that the 40 dead babies is almost like on schedule 33 years after that. Right now, you may have people out there, I bet you've got some 20-somethings out there that weren't even born yet when the Nayara testimony, but in case we need to bring people up to speed, or do we need to explain to people what happened, because... This young girl, a teenager, either the daughter or the niece.
So I think it was the daughter of the ambassador.
The Kuwaiti ambassador.
Right.
And by the way, she was not introduced. That no one said that's who. They just brought her as though she was some random Kuwaiti witness. They didn't even identify who she was. They really didn't.
And her dad was sitting right there.
Yeah, and she broke down crying on the end. Almost immediately, put it up to a vote, and bingo, we invaded Iraq. We invaded. Well, we this was the first Gulf War,
right?
Operation, you know, Desert Shield, and then Operation Desert Storm. And this her testimony was critical to getting popular support for this war.
That's what they say,
right? And then afterwards, we found out it was completely fabricated. The whole issue. The most memorable thing is her breaking down in tears as she described them. Throwing the babies out of incubators onto the cold hospital floor.
It's bad crisis acting if I ever saw it. And
I don't know. You know, people fell for it. And
well, what about this guy here? This guy's saying it's the oldest tool in the book.
On a lie.
I got this off the Dollar Vigilante.
Taking babies out of incubators and leaving them on the floor to die.
In the run-up to the Gulf
War, Jeff put the same video.
Touched American hearts and minds like Noah 10 times in the fight.
Okay, sorry. This
we spoke to.
But as they tried,
this didn't happen.
There was somewhere where it said this is the oldest trick of war ever, is to bring up dead babies killed by the ghouls on the other side.
So of course. I'm busy on, you know, talk radio and wherever else I could get, and on the web and on social media.
Yeah.
And the first thing I'm saying is 40 dead babies. I have one question. Did they dump them out of the incubators first onto the cold hospital floor? And then, of course, that's exactly the first thing I would say to Dan Bongino or Ben Shapiro or any of these Zionist shills, which is what they are.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. Oh, well, did they dump the babies out of the did they dump them out of the incubators onto the hospital floor? Because they never know what to say.
Right.
And what does that tell us? That tells us that, well, first of all, I could go on at great length about this. The weaponization of shallowness is the greatest asset that the so-called deep state has, which is to say the media, the mass media, global mass media, greatest weapon it has is the shallowness of its audience. What do I mean by that? I mean that if they can present this isolated narrative, true or false, or maybe they totally made it up. But if they can present it outside of any context, and what do I mean by context? I mean in two senses. Outside of any context spatially, which means the idea of polycentrism versus a monolithic one world system. If they can completely abstract the narrative, so you never pose the question, well, is that only happening here? Is that happening everywhere? Or is, you know, when you start looking at other countries and other places, then you're placing it in context spatially. And the other context is temporally, which is to say in time. And that's even more important because that's about historical memory. You're supposed to forget Nayara's testimony in 92.
Yeah, I was in there. Yeah. 91, 92.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're supposed to forget about it. If you're too young, you're not supposed to know about it at all.
Right.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice,
shame on me.
Yeah,
or as George Bush says, don't get fooled again.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So George Bush said, fool me three times, four or five. Hey, it means somebody loves to be fooled.
Oh, yeah.
Americans love to be fooled over and over and over and over again. And that is brainwashing because that's the erasure of historical memory. So the first thing out of everybody's mouth should have been, as soon as they heard this story breaking out simultaneously in synchronization across the world media of a massacre, the first thing people should have asked was, hey, is this just like what they did with that girl Nayara back in 91, 92 to get us to go to war over Kuwaiti oil? Is this something? It sounds almost exactly the same. They don't want to hear that. That's the one thing they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear it placed in any context, because then if we say, hey, you know, guys, we find that this media has been lying to us.
Yeah.
That Hill and Knowlton, the public relations firm, they made up that story about the babies being dumped.
They were hired by Kuwait.
Oh, yeah. Nobody was ever held accountable for that.
And Hill and Knowlton, for anyone who doesn't know, is one of the biggest public relation firms in the world. They specialize in massaging damaged brands or corporations that are having problems and
propagandizing for war and propagandizing.
Really?
Sure,
yeah.
Hill and Knowlton.
Yeah.
Hill and Knowlton is probably involved up to their ears in this whole Ukraine money laundering operation for sure. Selling, you know, they're probably working for Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, guys who are selling those really bad Patriot missiles that don't even work to Ukraine. So, yeah, to me, I have a whole thread about this under bearing, well, several threads, but one in particular under the Ninth Commandment.
Bearing false witness?
Right, bearing false witness.
How far down is that in your...
Well, I even get into the question of blood libel.
Right.
Blood libel is a phrase that's particularly meaningful to educated Jews because it refers to the belief going all the way back to the Middle Ages that Jews would kidnap a Christian child and then drain its blood to use for preparing their Passover matzahs. And the most recent time that a literal blood libel was shall we say, claimed and led to an arrest and a criminal prosecution was the Mendel Bilis case in Russia sometime in the first 5 years of the 20th century. Where Mendel Bilis was a child who disappeared. This Jew Mendel Bilis was arrested and accused of this, and then it turned out that it was bogus. It was a bogus charge. That's not to say that there may not have been individual Jews in the Middle Ages and elsewhere who practiced these weird blood practices. You know, I mean, I'm not denying that might not have actually existed. But what made it a blood libel was when you made this blanket claim about the entire group that that's what they did. They sacrificed Christian children so they could drain their blood.
I'm just playing some of the video. I'm playing one of the videos here about, yes, Margaret, the war in Israel is fake. This is a video you put up. So what is this all about? I don't know this guy. P. Gunnels on Rumble. What do we got here? Is this just a video compilation he put up?
Yeah. You can see some of the visuals.
Oh, I see.
It's being done to the people of the United States, informationally speaking. It's really bad. And a lot of emotions are very high right
now. So what is the gist of this video? I don't follow this guy.
Well, it's the same old thing that the media is being used to trigger people's emotions. That's what this is all about.
And this guy's a follower of Miles Mathis?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Because he's got links on there. That's why. Right, that's why I clicked
right.
on
he's,
it.
He's giving consideration to some of the analysis done by Miles Mathis.
Okay.
Which is exhaustive.
So I should I should listen to this video then.
I mean, if you want to look at some of the details, you know. Listen, for me,
hearing different people. So.
Right. As soon as I saw those perfect videos of these alleged Hamas terrorists
right.
in their hang gliders and
right.
ultralights and whatever it is they were pedaling, they were flying through the city, like, I could shoot them down with a shotgun. Come on. Who are you kidding? Really? Who's going to believe that? I don't need, look, this is one of those cases where I don't need some clues for them to deconstruct a particular image and explain to me that it's fake. I know this thing is staged just because of those videos alone. And the question is, and this really has to do with the whole nature of a blood libel, is why, if Hamas is a legitimate organization, why don't they deny, why don't they expose the fakery? Or a corollary question, and this makes you think about January 6th a lot, right? Because we know that January 6th was basically run by the FBI and a bunch of Democratic Party hired crisis actors. But obviously there were others who were lured into participating. And maybe that's what we have here with Hamas. Maybe we've got some Palestinian nationalists who are so fucking stupid or so opportunist or compromised and prostituted that they're unwilling to say fake.
Well, the Palestinians that were being presented are definitely cooperating. So the question is, what is the end game? I wonder, but they're cooperating.
Well, the end game is it's population. It's Lahaina.
No, I would say it's prime real estate. These Palestinians, do you think they're fake Palestinians or they're bought off and they're going along with what's next? Doesn't matter.
This is where the cast of thousands becomes a cast of millions.
Yeah.
And we should get into that. That's important. Because when 9/11 happened, a lot of people were fooled at first.
Everybody. The whole world.
Everybody.
Everyone.
But by 2005, 2006,
the spell was wearing off.
We knew those were controlled demolitions.
Right.
We knew that much. And then by the end of 2006, we knew that the media, the news networks had broadcast digital cartoons of a plane allegedly plowing into the South Tower. And we'd identified these as fake. And then September Clues came out that pretty much explained the mechanics of how that fakery was produced. But to me, that's more of a technical issue. That's not an issue of principle.
Well, it wasn't so much. It also said that the entire media was cooperating to deliver the fake message. That was a more important concept for me because I'd never heard of that before. I don't care about the graphics or the miniatures or whatever they use. I just didn't think that the media was working against us.
Well, the media was perpetrating a blood libel. A blood libel against Arabs, a blood libel against Muslims in particular, because we were told that these were Islamists, these 19, most of whom were student pilots, apparently, who allegedly hijacked these Boeing commercial airliners with box cutters and plastic airline cutlery, whatever. That's what we were told. And so to me, the narrative was so ridiculous and so incoherent to begin with that by 2005, 2006, I really expected people to be to start questioning it. And here's what bothered me the most, really bothered me, because at the time there were not a lot of sources of information on this. And two of the people who I tuned in to listen to, initially on Republic Broadcasting Network, and later I think Jim Fetzer started a show of his own. He was partnered with Kevin Barrett.
Right, Kevin Barrett, yeah.
Right, was a college professor who converted to Islam.
Right.
And over time, it seemed to me that Kevin Barrett knew that 9/11 was an inside job. He knew those were controlled demolitions. But he just wouldn't go the distance. He wouldn't go the distance in demanding of his fellow Muslims that they stand up and say, hey, this is a hoax, this is fake. We didn't do this. Our people didn't do this. And this bothered me so much at the time because I saw honest truth seekers. And maybe they didn't know, maybe they didn't yet grasp the TV fakery, but they knew that those were controlled demolitions. They knew that much.
Right.
And people from different backgrounds, maybe they were Christian, maybe they were Jewish, but I wasn't seeing any Muslims. To tell you the truth, I was seeing more Hindus than Muslims. I went to a conference at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, called Treason in America, that was focused entirely on 9/11. This would have been about 2006, 2007, 2008. And there were, Americans of South Asian background. They're basically Indians who I think in several cases I might have called Hindus. But I saw no Muslims there. I didn't see a single Muslim there. And what really got me was the behavior of some of these shape-shifting Muslims that were willing to take credit for 9/11. That's the important thing here.
Who were they, though? I didn't know any of that. I knew a lot of...
Oh, yeah. And it just by their silence in many cases by going along with it. And about the worst case I could think of... Well, I can think of it.
Well, there was CARE. CARE came out. That's controlled opposition, isn't it? CARE? C-A-I-R?
Right, exactly. And yeah. Look at somebody like Ilhan Omar. What a bitch.
You're talking about the... Is that a congressman from Minnesota?
Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, mm-hmm. Ilana Press. There are several Muslim.
Yeah, I want to hit a couple other points because I want to go fast.
No, this is important to me.
Okay.
Do you understand why this is important to me?
Okay.
How many billion Muslims are there out there?
I know there's billions. Yeah.
Right. Now, you know some of them because there are a lot of them in Canada.
Sure.
Right?
Of course.
Have you ever encountered any who were willing to say, hey, you know something, this was a hoax, this was fake?
But they don't know either, though. Do you think half the Jews know that this whole war is being hoaxed in their backyard? I don't think so.
I don't want to hear an excuse from the people who are being accused.
No. Okay.
Instead of standing up and saying, we didn't do this.
I know, but they don't know any more than anyone else.
That's the meaning of false flag, isn't it? Isn't that the meaning of false flag?
That's when
IPS says false flag doesn't matter.
Right.
I disagree profoundly. Mm-hmm. I disagree profoundly. I say the fact that people are being framed.
Well, it's a fake. It's a fake false flag.
It doesn't matter that it's fake. It doesn't matter because if it becomes real, then that's
the consequences are real.
That's right.
Yes,
and that's
I
what we mean by the simulacrum.
Right.
So IPS can sit there and say, well, they faked this, they faked that. Well, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. What's important is the propaganda, the narrative, the agenda. That's what matters.
Yeah.
And we can get to how they did it, the fakery, later.
Yeah, I agree.
But what's important right now is a blood libel, historic blood libel. And Ilhan Omar, the day she was sworn in as a congressional representative, elected mostly by, I guess, Somali Americans who are Muslim, she should have called a press conference and said, you know something, we're not going to take the rap for 9/11 anymore. This was an inside job. I'm pinning it on the, she could have gone after the Bush administration, who was in power at the time. She could have called it out. Instead, she said,
well, who knows who put her there?
About 9/11, she said, oh, some people did something.
Yeah. Oh, is that right? That's her quote.
You don't consider that, you're not, you don't think that's fucking outrageous.
I know, but just because, so she's a Muslim. And you're saying she should know better, but does she do all
she
Congress do all Congress people
better.
Do all congressmen know about fakery?
They know better. They know better. And I'm going to give you the what you told me about Kanye West.
Right.
I said about Kanye West. Look, here are the pictures of the different actors playing Derek Chauvin. You could see the whole thing is bogus.
What's her name? Ilhan Omar.
Ilhan, I-L-H-A-N O-M-A-R. And by the way, this Ilhan Omar, in order to become an American, she's an immigrant, in order to become an American.
Oh, here it
citizen,
is. People did something. Yeah, here it is.
It was founded after 9/11.
That's right.
They recognized.
That was probably another controlled operation. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Care.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties.
That was the clip posted Monday by a controversial Australian Twitter user. Yesterday, it was retweeted by Texas Congressman Dan Crenshaw with the comment, first member of Congress to ever describe terrorists who killed thousands of Americans on 9/11 as some people who did something unbelievable. New York Congressman Peter King is also outraged.
Absolute disgrace. I mean, this is an insult to everyone who...
All right. So, see, they created a fake controversy over a fake event.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's how that was spun.
That makes her a Judas goat.
Right.
Because she's leading her people into taking the rap for something they didn't do.
Right.
What actually happened? That's another question. But they didn't do it. Hey, officer, I didn't do this. I'm not going to give you a confession. I want an attorney. I didn't do this. You're trying to pin a bum rap on me. Now,
well,
I really
but
expect
it's on,
let me tell you something. I could count on one hand, maybe two or three fingers, the prominent Muslims who actually stepped forward to speak out. And they deserve mention. They deserve honorable mention. One of those was a very highly respected, very aged former prime minister of Malaysia named Mohammed Mahathir. He spoke out and said, hey, this was an inside job by the Zionists. They did this. And
they blame the Zionists. Okay.
Right. He blamed it on them. There was...
what's his name? Mohammed what? Mahathir?
Mahathir, M-A-H-A-T-I-R. He actually allowed Kuala Lumpur to be used as the setting for a 9/11 truth conference that Jim Fetzer ran.
All right. He opened up the conference in Kuala Lumpur. Yeah.
Yeah. And they sent this agent, this Jesuit agent, Albert Lambermont Weber of exopolitics fame, to go there and talk about Martian child sex slaves, basically to ruin it for Fetzer.
World Trade Center buildings in New York.
Okay, I'll put a link to that guy. Okay.
There is another, and a Pakistani former chief of the ISI, which is a Pakistani national, their version of the CIA, named Mohammed Gul, G-U-L. And he also called it out as an inside job.
Okay.
But what frustrated the hell out of me was no American Muslim was willing to step forward and say, hey, those were controlled demolitions. And Larry Silverstein and Frank Lowy own those buildings. Not a one of them. Not a one of them stepped forward to say, hey, there's no plane at the Pentagon. There's no evidence of any crashed plane at the Pentagon. Why are you accusing us of this? Now, you've got the Saudi monarchy, which we know is rotten to the core. It's corrupt. They're the guardians of the holy places.
Yeah.
Mecca and Medina in Saudi in Arabia. They went along with the narrative. They said, oh yeah, this was Osama bin Laden. They actually tried to make a hero out of him. Now, I knew that these regimes, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, the Gulf Emirates, Bahrain, Qatar, which is basically just a U.S. Navy. Actually, my understanding is that Hamas has their headquarters in Qatar, But Gaza is a U.S. military base, essentially.
What's it called? Because I heard that mispronounced on...
Qatar. It's one of the Gulf Sheikhs.
Oh, Qatar. Well, isn't that Qatar?
Gutter.
I think one of the senators was saying it gutter on the No Agenda show.
It is pronounced as gutter, yeah.
Oh, is it? Oh, I thought it was Qatar.
My understanding is that that's where Hamas has their main headquarters.
Right.
Not in Egypt. Now, remember, Hamas is affiliated formerly with the Muslim Brotherhood. I want to get into this business of American Muslims and what cowards they are, and how they become the caste of millions participating in this Islamic terrorist narrative, and in particular in the 9/11 narrative. Because Ilhan Omar is only one instance of this. Here, the whole country is focused on her. She's the star of the show. She's got center stage. And she had an opportunity to say, look, guys, these were controlled. She could have shown a video of WTC-7, whether it's real or not.
Yeah.
And said, hey, that looks like a controlled demolition to me. Dan Rather thinks it looks like dynamite.
Well, she literally said nothing. She didn't say anything according to that video. That was pathetic. Yeah. Hey, listen, I know you want to talk about this more, but you told me to rein you in. So
I want to pinpoint one more individual.
One more thing, because I want to go through the blog and see what you posted, because we only got 20 minutes left.
This is one of the things I posted about. It really is. It's very important to me.
Okay, where is it on here?
It's important to me because I don't see any Muslims coming over to fakeologists to support us and help us.
Oh, I see. What how long ago was this link? I'm just scrolling through the timeline here.
Well, what I do is I try to maintain a continuous thread. And the one I want to talk about is Kevin Barrett and Sami Al-Arian. And I want to talk about how dirty and corrupt these American supporters of Hamas have to be, because they're going along with this narrative. What happened was George W. Bush ran as a conservative against Al Gore for president in 1980. Now I'm getting confused. I guess it would have been
1999, 2000 election year.
Election of 2000, right?
Yeah.
And one of the key strategies of the Republican Party was the recruitment of the Islamic vote, and especially the Arab American vote, because they were assumed to be very socially and culturally conservative, anti-abortion, anti-gay marriage at the time wasn't even legal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so they very actively solicited support from the Islamic community. And a lot of the Muslim organizations endorsed and campaigned for George W. Bush, who really had made promises he wasn't going to get us involved in any wars. He was going to focus on domestic issues. And one of the key figures who helped run George W. Bush's election campaign among getting votes from Muslims was a very prominent Muslim academic named Sami Al-Arian. I believe he might be of Palestinian origin. Samial-Arian. And this guy was interviewed on the Kevin Barrett internet radio show. I forget what the name of it was.
Yeah.
And I listened to Barrett dance around 9/11. And I listened to this Sami Al-Arian. And then later I saw an interview with him where he was grinning ear to ear when he was asked about 9/11. And this guy, Sami Al-Arian, he kept saying, well, we don't really know what happened. And he basically kept boosting the United States government's story.
All right.
Now, subsequently, Sami Al-Arian, who had been on Air Force, who had been after George Bush won the election, Sami Al-Arian was an honored guest at the White House. He went on Air Force One, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then right after 9/11, they arrested him. And they arrested him for using Islamic charities to raise funds for terrorists, presumably Hamas. And I looked at these organizations, and the main organization that the Justice Department and the FBI were looking at was something called the Holy Land Foundation. Now, this is really dirty. This is really dirty, filthy, rotten, shape-shifting. Because Palestine is only the Holy Land to Christians and Jews. The primary holy land for Islam is Saudi Arabia.
Mecca.
Mecca and Medina are the two holiest sites. And Jerusalem is important.
Yeah.
But it's so disingenuous and dishonest for Muslims to start an organization called the Holy Land Foundation, which is basically their way to appeal to sympathetic Christians who help give us money to help the poor people in the Holy Land. It's just intellectually dishonest when they do that. And so I know that the Sami Al-Aryan guy is totally prostituted. He's got to be. But I listened to him being interviewed by Kevin Barrett, and he, to me, was the quintessential example of the victim of a blood libel who's willing to play along and take credit for what they're falsely accused of doing. They're willing to go along with a false flag psyop. They're willing to take the blame. They're not going to challenge the media narrative. They're not going to call out the fakery. They're not going to call out the hoax. They're not going to do any of that. They're going to prop up the mainstream narrative. And yeah, that is what Ilhan Omar does. That's what Sami Al-Aryan did back then. And that is what most American Muslims are still doing. So when you talk about these people being displaced out of Gaza, well, if you guys don't call out the 40 babies, the 40 dead babies as a hoax, then you're part of the problem, not the solution.
I agree. You're no fakeologist. Okay, can we go through the rest? You put something...
You don't seem particularly riled up about it. It doesn't bother you.
No, not really. Because
there are so many Muslims out there that are perfectly willing to believe that pilots armed with box cutters hijack planes and knock down the towers.
Nobody, listen,
that many ignorant
Muslims. Nobody speaks out against it. So I don't just blame Muslims. I blame everyone that has a brain.
The ones who are taking the rap.
Yeah, but are they really? I know what really happened in the end to the Muslims.
No. They could call it out. And this is the thing.
They figure like everyone else, someone's taking care of it. CARE was taking care of it, but they did not.
No. I say some of them like the idea of Muslim radicals knocking down the towers. They like the idea. I think Sami Al-Aryan likes the idea. And that's why he doesn't mind taking credit for it. And that's your cast of millions.
Do you see
what I've arrived at here?
They're
participating in the PSYOP exactly the way they've been scripted.
What about all the Jews that say that a lot of people, just like they say the Jews are doing all the damage, what about all the Jews that say, hey, we're not the ones that are doing all this? What about them?
Some of them say that, but remember,
not many. It's a cast of millions.
Right.
Same thing on the other side.
Yes, absolutely.
Why don't they say it's not us? It's their secret societies what about the fake Jews?
Well, the Israelis are involved in 9/11 up to their freaking ears, and everybody knows it.
Okay, but is that all Jews or is it all Israelis? It is all Zionists. You see,
it's
the same thing.
There are more
Christians that are Zionists than Jews that are Zionists.
Yeah, that's true, and they're implicated as well.
Exactly. So you got everyone on every side that's not calling it out for what it is.
Right.
That's
particularly despicable because Muslims have children and grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And those children and grandchildren have already now... How many years has it been since 9/11?
Yeah.
22 years?
Yeah.
That's a whole generation of Islamic children, the children of Muslim families, wherever they are.
Well, there should be most of the best 9/11 researchers should be Muslim by your account. Where are they? Where are the 9/11?
Can you name a single one? There might be a few out there. I named them. I named the two most prominent Muslims who from the first stepped forward and said, "Hey, you know something? This is an inside job by the Zionists. Don't be fooled." But the exception proves the rule, doesn't it? The fact that it's so easy to name one or two prominent Muslims who actually had the backbone and the guts to stand up and say, hey, we didn't do this.
Well,
don't pin this crime on us.
There's
got to be millions of them out there that are perfectly willing to identify with it. Just as there are millions of American blacks who are perfectly willing to identify with the rioting and the looting that took place in the aftermath of the George Floyd, Derek Chauvin hoax. And as our discussion of Kanye West, which I refer back to again, demonstrated, because I said Kanye West is not stupid. He can look at these pictures of the different actors playing Derek Chauvin. He can see how transparently fake this whole George Floyd business was. He could see the damage that it did to black businesses in the cities that were burned down. He can see this, but he won't say anything. And what was your reply to me? He's in on it.
Yeah.
He knows. What did you say? He knows. Well, I'm telling you that there are millions of educated Muslims, along with Christians and Jews, who know those were controlled demolitions. They probably suspect that the 40 dead babies we're hearing about is bullshit.
Exactly.
They know it for sure. Good, they remember.
Good segue. Let me play this while I just have my chocolate chip cookie.
That is the government and the intelligence agencies. And it has been for a long, long time. But based on one comment from this one person, everyone goes crazy. All these people go crazy, and they all demand killing everyone in Gaza.
Three lies currently being told about Palestine. Number one, 40 babies were beheaded. This is completely false. No evidence has been provided for this. The claim comes from this journalist during a walk and talk. She makes the claim saying,
I see in the distance more bodies being covered. Babies. Their heads cut off.
Later in a tweet, however, she admits that she did not see bodies, but heard a soldier talking about it. Number two, people were raped. Also false. There is no evidence of this whatsoever. Number three, 250 people were killed at a concert. False. The only videos we have seen are people running away from the concert. There isn't a single video or photo suggesting that 250 people were killed at a concert, or that a mass shooting took place. What we do have, however, are interviews of Israelis claiming that Palestinian resistance fighters were actually kind to them, merciful to them. So why are they lying? It's called atrocity propaganda. They lie about atrocities in order to incite emotions, hatred, and violence. Why? Because they are the ones planning to commit atrocities themselves. To do this, they need to convince you that Palestinians are barbaric animals that rape, torture, and had babies. This is a war of information.
And then there was the...
Yeah, that was off Dollar Vigilante, so hats off to him. He's still doing some good work. And I just wanted to insert that. But whether the Israelis are going to do anything atrocious remains to be seen.
We're told that there are carpet bombing areas of Gaza now. Do you believe that?
I don't believe anything, but is there anyone in Gaza? Because I do believe they're probably going to move everyone out. And we know the mantra, war is controlled demolition and strategic relocation.
Relocation. I have a thread on the deployment of residue, which is to say original books that were published in the past. And I featured it prominently. Every time I want to bring it to the top of the
what
Facebook.
What is residue? Okay.
Right. And how may it be deployed to secure some facts, some reality. And I have an extensive thread there that goes into the thesis that warfare is a combination of expensive controlled demolitions,
yes,
remotely controlled demolitions, and massive displacement, relocation, or liquidation of populations, whole populations.
Wow.
And I go into the history of that, and especially show that that's basically what World War II was. But at the bottom of it, I get into proposals to because they're saying we're going to have 1 million, maybe 2 million refugees that have no place to go. This is exactly the position that the Jews were in Europe when the Third Reich basically was taking over Europe. They're called stateless persons. Basically, they have no passport. They have no citizenship. They have no status. Where do they go? No one wants to take them. Where do they go? So, of course, we know that the Zionists, this is part of the Zionist plan to move them all to Palestine, colonize Palestine with these mostly European Jews. The United States was not going to take them. And I can discuss the incident of the St. Louis, which was a ship of the Hamburg line, a luxury cruise liner. And it was, this was very late, almost just before the outbreak of the war in like 38, 39. And this German cruise ship basically had all these Jews, and they wanted to get off in the United States, but the United States wouldn't let them. Then they wanted to get off in Cuba, and the Cubans wouldn't let them. And it was back and forth, and most of them ended up having to go back to Europe and supposedly getting thrown in concentration camps because no country would take them. That's what we were told. Two very big blockbuster movies were made about this, Voyage of the Damned. And
that's how you know it's fake, when they make a movie.
Well, you know, I mean, they got top name, The Voyage of the Damned. And the other one is Voyage of the St. Louis, maybe. But there were two big movies that were made about this. And of course, when I researched Cuba, I right away came across the fact that Meyer Lansky, who was Jewish, controlled Batista, who was the man running Cuba at the time that this was a publicity stunt for the whole world media. Because Meyer Lansky owned Batista, Fulgencio Batista, who was the dictator of Cuba at the time, and who could have, like the Cubans couldn't have offered refugee status to a couple hundred Jews coming off a boat. Meyer Lansky could have paid for it from his casino profits. But no, they use these people as like a political football. They use this ship as a political football around the refugee issue. Well, in my thread, I've shown that apparently there are people who are saying, well, these Palestinian refugees, they have nowhere to go. But we have plenty of land here in the United States, especially in desert areas that they'd be more used to desert areas, right?
Their desert areas are in the downtown old industrial cities like Detroit. That's a desert area.
Well, yeah, it's a little bit cold in Detroit in the winter. They might prefer a place like Utah.
It's cold in Utah, Arizona. Too. Arizona's hot in the summer. You can't live in the Arizona in the summer. It's the opposite problem.
Okay, so maybe they can move to Minneapolis. But whatever the case, right away you're hearing...
I'll tell you, the weather is really great in Tennessee all year round.
These Republicans are saying they're not going to accept a single Palestinian refugee.
Is that already being talked about? I never...
Oh, yes! Wow. Oh, yes, I've got it down there in the thread. If you page all the way down to the bottom of that residue thread, which basically goes into a book...
It's a good thread. Are we going to... This is the kind of thing I want to see on the Fakeologist forums, because so many people can't get into this Facebook. You got to get that fixed. I'll keep reminding you every week because this is good. So the book is The Riddle of the Reich by Wythe Williams.
Yeah, we never covered this, did we?
No, I don't remember this. So you're saying that
I have all kinds of residue. I have two different translations.
Well, hold on a sec. Residue is a Mandela term. Is this a Mandela term?
What?
Residue.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it is.
Well, I know, so I usually disassociate with those kind of words. So,
well, all it's saying is...
What is residue to you?
Residue to me is proof that something physically existed.
Oh, I see.
Or I also call it an artifact, a literary artifact. So okay. A book published, the United States was bombed on December 7th, 1941 by Japan.
Right.
Then declared.
Well, that was the official story. So they said Japan did it. Right.
Right. Then Germany immediately, as an ally of Japan, declared war on the United States, and that allowed the United States to enter the war against Germany.
Right.
Tanks to North Africa and all the kinds of things. I have books. This particular book that I show in the thread was published before Pearl Harbor, during a period when the United States was neutral. Now, of course, we were supplying the British, obviously, under Lend-Lease. At that time, Germany and the Soviet Union were still allied. They had divided up Poland. So Germany had not yet turned on the Soviet Union and invaded the Soviet Union. They had occupied France and the Netherlands. And I guess, I don't know if they'd taken over Greece yet. I think they had taken over Greece and Yugoslavia, Austria, you know, Czechoslovakia. They basically were running Europe and moving populations around through what were called repatriation programs that were negotiated. One of the most famous repatriation programs was something called the Transfer Agreement between the Third Reich and worldwide Zionist organizations that involved transferring German Jews and their property, cash value of their property, to Palestine. That was negotiated. But
so this is a chapter in the book called The Game of Repatriation.
Right.
Well, this is very good. This is the strategic relocation and controlled demo. This is the strategic relocation part of this whole operation.
Yes. In advance of any demolition.
Right.
Because remember that
they get the people out first.
Right.
So we're just seeing another relocation of the people of Gaza because they are on prime real estate. Waterfront real estate.
Nobody's gonna let them come here. Nobody's apparently, right-wing Republicans and Zionists don't want a single Palestinian being accepted as a refugee here in this country.
So what are they going to need?
Not even mothers and children.
So what are they going to need in exchange to get them to be convinced of that?
Where are they supposed to go? Where are they supposed to go? Are they supposed to go to Egypt?
No, I'm saying how are they going to buy off these senators to let them soften their view on this? That's the question. So.
Well, it's going to be used to create another political football, another conflict. You're either for bringing the Palestinians or you're against them. You would hate them or you love them. Which is it, you know? It would sure help, though. It would sure help if at least some of those Palestinians would step forward and say, hey, you know something? This is an inside. Well, some of them maybe are saying that it's an inside job by the Israelis, but not enough. Not enough. I'm listening to interviews with these Palestinian human rights people on Pacifica, which is left-wing commie radio, and not a single one has used the word fake, hoax, media psyop, or tried to expose Hamas as a false flag operation. Not a one.
And here you go. Here, no population is more malleable and servile and compliant than immigrants, especially illegal ones, and especially illegal immigrants with children. This is very interesting.
Yeah, I go into it. I have an extensive. I think I'm giving pretty convincing evidence.
It is. It's very good.
That supports the thesis that this is really about moving populations around, or I would say sometimes. Culling the herd, which is to say liquidating the useless eaters. That's what the Third Reich was particularly efficient at. When you gather all the people together, and by the way, they didn't have to go out and round up any Jews. They simply issued orders to the leaders of the Jewish community.
And they told them it was for their safety.
Oh, yeah. Have all your people assembled at the railroad station at this time with their goods and belongings.
Yeah.
Here's what they're allowed to take with them. Here's what they're not. You know, we're going to be moving you east to places where you'll be fed and housed and get them all together. And these Jewish leaders rounded up all the Jews to get on those boxcars. You may have been a few Jews that sniffed it out and said, I'm not going along with this.
That's right.
And they headed for the woods and they became partisans and everything else.
They got on the underground railway out of the hell out of Europe. That's where they did.
Well, what are the people of Gaza supposed to do at this point? Are they supposed to? You would think Egypt would open itself up to these immigrants.
Maybe they already are pouring over the border and Egypt is letting them in, but not admitting it into the media. Maybe that is happening. They got to go somewhere. There's no flotilla in the Mediterranean.
Right, but here's how this is going to be played.
Yeah.
Here's how this is going to be played. I turn on AM talk radio tonight, this afternoon, and somebody's playing an interview with Rudolph Giuliani.
All right.
Where Giuliani is insisting that because of the terrible border policies of the Biden administration, we may have as many as a million terrorists that have crossed over our southern border. And there could he goes through this thing. Do you realize how many terrorist events have been prevented in this country because the FBI under the Trump administration was tracking and keeping track of these terrorists trying to cross over our border? And now, since the Biden administration came in, all of these terrorists have crossed. This is Rudolph Giuliani saying this now. And undoubtedly, he's going to argue that if any asylum is offered to these Palestinians in Gaza who have nowhere to go, and if asylum is offered to them here in the United States, well, they're potential terrorist threat. And it's just like the Ukrainians the right-wing Azov battalion, Ukrainians that they brought over, who showed up on January 6th, had their pictures taken next to the QAnon shaman. Yeah, that you can look at those pictures. They've actually identified these Ukrainian guys arm-in-arm with the QAnon shaman right there at the Capitol on January 6th.
Yeah.
So they'll have, and as I say, immigrants are so malleable, you can get them, well, look at the role that the Tsarnaev brothers played in that whole Boston Marathon business, right? Immigrants are so easy to control and manipulate. They really are.
It's no doubt. It's the hard asses that have been in the country long enough that are causing the problem, because, you know, they actually think the country is for them. They help build it. They help fund it. But no, they're the ones that get phased out. And I can see that in Canada as well. The third or fourth generation Canadian, they want their peace.
You've got a significant Muslim population in Canada.
I don't know what that population is. I don't know if it's that significant. Because most
in Toronto?
I think it's definitely growing, but most of the Punjabis are Hindu or Sikh.
So they're Hindus, okay.
Or Sikh. Sikhs are not, they're a separate Hindu faith, and they don't think they want their own
country. Yeah, well, I've already rendered a harsh judgment on the Sikhs. They had the opportunity to speak out about this phony Indian space program.
Oh, I thought you were going to bring up the Temple of Amritsar or the Air India disaster as well.
That's history. Yeah, that's certainly history. But as you know, there's a recent, we're told there was an assassination of a Sikh independence leader there in Canada, who was also a Canadian citizen.
Right.
And we're told he was assassinated. He was shot. And Trudeau made a big show out of it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you are up to date on Canada, too. Hey, Tommy sent a donation of $7, and he says, great respect to you, and great info, as usual, from Lynn. I agree. Lynn is an encyclopedia of stuff here, and I wish she would put a lot of her research on the Fakeologist forums at fakeologist.com/forums, too. You know, we got a great thread, Lynn, on the Israeli war psyop thingy, and your stuff would fit in beautifully on there. So I really hope you can get it together. You know what? I'm going to probably be building a new computer because my other computers are getting kind of dusty and old. So maybe give me your address and I'll mail you an old desktop or something down there.
Oh, I'll take a free computer. Yeah.
As long as the freight isn't $200 or $300, we'll look into that. But I'm going to probably have an extra computer just because.
My conclusion on all this.
I'll send you one with a Fakeologist forums login already put on.
All right. My contention on this is that everyone is going to make excuse. We live in the United States of excuses, right? Everybody's got an excuse for why people don't. Why don't they do something? Why don't they say something? Why do they swallow this?
I don't think most people.
Over again?
Most people don't care. Listen, I was down in Tennessee in the last week. What an amazing state! So many young people, so many young families, so many families of four and five children. I just don't see that anymore. I don't think they pay any attention to this crap that we talk about on a weekly basis. They probably don't even know where Palestine or Israel is on a map.
But they're paying for it.
No, they don't. But they don't care. They're living their lives. They're having a great time. The rolling hills of Tennessee.
They shouldn't complain about the inflation. They shouldn't complain.
Well,
about the
that's just care. That's just something that they figure they can't do anything about. Yeah, inflation is high. I mean, I paid too much for the motels, and I don't stay in fancy motels. And,
right. And apparently, even though they're supposed to be traditional Christians, many of them, they don't give a flying rat's ass about the ninth commandment.
Because the people that I've met are just the salt of the earth. I don't think they have any idea what we talk about on a daily basis.
They're just innocent.
They're just living their lives. They're just enjoying life. And sometimes I think we burn out. And I wanted to get to two truthers that seemingly died, allegedly, in the last 2 weeks. One was Patrick Timpone. He was on my show, and I was on his show within the last year, and he allegedly died on October 2nd or so of mysterious circumstance. I don't know if I brought that up.
I heard about that from Christine Massey.
Right. I told her about it because she was supposed to be on his show.
Oh, okay.
I told her because someone told me. So I don't know. His death is mysterious. So as a truther, I think we should all look into it just to verify. Another one is this guy, Alan C. Weisbecker. I don't know if you heard of him.
Oh, I got to talk about him because he was one of the people that, you know.
He's allegedly dead.
Yeah. You know, you should ask about that as Jim Fetzer. Fetzer was fairly close to him.
Oh, was he? Okay. I don't talk to Fetzer either, but.
Interviewed him several times. And Weisbecker, he was very independent.
Yeah. He was a surfer dude, and he was. Right. He did all kinds of 9/11 research.
Among other things that John O'Neill, one of the characters who was woven into the 9/11 narrative, was the FBI chief of counterterrorism who headed up the Bin Laden squad,
right,
allegedly, John O'Neill. And he supposedly had just taken over responsibility of security for the World Trade Center like 6 weeks before 9/11. And allegedly he died in the towers. Well, Weisbecker was running around and stumbled onto the fact that the way FBI agents were talking, John O'Neill was still alive and living somewhere under an assumed identity.
Do we believe Weisbecker just suddenly disappeared? Because if you look on his blog in the comments, there's tons of speculation that this guy wouldn't have committed suicide.
How old was he?
He was 75, and he said,
And people die.
People do die. We agree.
Yeah, I mean, 75. You know, 75. You understand? The videos I saw of him, he was very active. He liked to surf, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
He liked to surf. Loved beaches and everything else. And I kind of liked his stuff.
Yeah.
Although, you know, he was very critical of September Clues.
He was critical of September Clues. He was critical of Miles Mathis.
Right.
He did not suffer fools gladly. He definitely didn't.
No.
He was his own guy. And I can't remember where we conflicted because I interviewed him here. If you go to the blog, this goes way back to when was this that I interviewed him? Let me look at the date if I can find the dang thing. 11 comments on this post at fakeologist.com.
Do a search on him in connection with John O'Neill.
May 4th, 2014, I had him on. Wow, that's a long time ago. Wow.
Okay, so you interviewed him.
I did interview him. So everyone should listen to that and go back.
Yeah, I love his research into the John O'Neill narrative because it really shows you how the FBI operates.
And Weisbecker sent me an email not even 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, maybe a week before he died, saying, look into this story exposing Elon Musk. And I said, I replied to that, say, yeah, come on, let's talk about it. And of course he didn't reply because he is allegedly dead. So it's wow.
Where are we getting this report from of his death?
This was on his blog in the comment section. This is where
he's taken over his blog now.
These are commenters. You can comment on his blog. So somebody just said that on September 24th, Alan wrote, I'm on the road to Utah and will be pretty silent for a few days. Da-da-da-da-da. Check this. And he mentioned his previous traveling companion, Logan M, and Logan M is the one that made the comments.
Okay.
That he is gone. And
but didn't say why. Didn't say if it was a heart attack, a stroke.
No, nobody knows. You have to read the whole comment section to try and figure out what's happening. Somebody was going to.
See, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. If somebody dies, we should at least get a reason.
No, I agree.
I know in the case of.
Now, if he doesn't have any significant others, who's going to have the wherewithal to get on the blog? And
what do you think? There's a death certificate. There's a death, you know,
event. No, I agree with that. But where did he die? That's mysterious as well, because he was a mobile guy and he was just always on the road. No fixed address. So, yeah, it's going to take some work. And yeah, someone can look into it. There's a whole thread on there. It doesn't look like there's anything older than October 7th in this thread.
Right.
So
I would.
I see. The comments are closed. Maybe he has auto close.
I'm going to email Jim Fetzer.
Okay.
And ask him if, because he was close to, he interviewed Weisbecker a number of times. I think they were still friends. I don't think they had split on anything. I think they were still fairly close. So he would be the first one I would ask about that.
We need to look into it. But yeah, look into it and let me know. We've been going over an hour. Always spicy, always exciting with Lynn Ertel. And I really appreciate you coming on, Lynn. Fake11.com/Facebook. Some really good research on this residue on this relocation.
Rosalie Grable referred to 9/11 as the frame-up of humanity. I thought it was kind of overstated at the time because I only saw Arabs and Muslims being framed up, but
the whole world.
Really, the whole world was framed up, and that's why it is incumbent upon the people, the group being smeared and libeled and subjected to a blood libel, to speak up and say, hey, we're not taking the rap for this. And if they fail to do that in any significant numbers, then they're part of that cast.
But aren't the Jews taking the rap for doing everything and the Muslims?
Damn right.
There's so many groups.
Their response is, oh, we're justified in doing this because they're savages, so we're going to kill them all.
Well, that's just the ones that are speaking as Jews. I'm talking about the regular Jews that have nothing to do with any of this.
Oh, and some of them are very critical of Israel. Some of them are very critical of Israel, but you're right.
But not enough.
Will they know? Will they know what's fake and what's real?
Well, they have the same problem as everyone else, but, they should be on the Fakeologist show and on the Fakeologist blog. The whole reason why I was spending so much time on 9/11, at least at the beginning, because I said, if you don't understand this, you're not going to understand the next one. And
we're not the ones bringing up 9/11. If you turn on any news coverage of this business in Israel,
yes,
that's all you hear is 9/11. So they're the ones who are bringing it up, not us. Therefore,
let's
take it up.
Exactly, and that's why 9/11 is important. Even 22 years later, it is the template for fakery. And when we look back at the 9/11 fakery, it's so bad, so real bad. And the other reason I really
giveaway.
And the other reason I like fake nukes, and I put so much of Phil's stuff, is he's just using a regular laptop with no editing skills to comment on all the fakery that's going back to even John Connolly. Sitting in the hospital bed laughing it up after having been shot, allegedly, at Dealey Plaza. So this
is that Miles Mathis who's presenting that?
No, this is Fake Nukes Phil who does...
Oh, Fake Nukes Phil has got that? I want to see that.
I have it on FakeOTube. I have it on FakeOTube.
He's a very questionable character. He went bankrupt. He's a real sleazy character.
And he's a crisis actor. He did a hospital interview in 1963 after. So, you got to understand this stuff because...
I have questions about this Steve Scalise.
Talking
about making Speaker of the House. He supposedly got shot by a crazy leftist during a congressional baseball game.
Wow.
But it turns out he's had cancer. He's had serious cancer. And I'm seeing the same kind of thing they pull with Gabrielle Giffords. Brain cancer. She had brain cancer, and they used her cancer surgery as a cover, basically.
Right.
An opportunity to stage that fake shooting event. And I'm wondering if this is what happened with Scalise as well.
I'm not even following that, but I'm not as current as you. Hey, listen, if you want to talk to Lynn@fakeologist.com, send her an email. That is a forwarding service that I provide, and it goes right through to Lynn. I don't see it. So make sure you send her an email. And lots of people love having Lynn on the show. I certainly do. And she'll be on again next Tuesday. Tomorrow, we have a guy named Matt Unseated. He is a researcher in Canada that is picking apart all the so-called freedom movement people in Canada. He just goes one by one and just starts naming off problems with these guys. Then he's got his own YouTube channel, and he's going to be on tomorrow. And he's got every trucker leader. He just picks them apart saying... This controlled opposition everywhere. He also talks about Canada is fake. It's not a real country. It's just a corporation. we don't have a constitution. We don't have anything. This is just a company. We're all company employees that signed up for Canada when we're born. So he's going to be really interesting.
Ask him about Rebel News.
I will.
And Ezra, what's his name?
Ezra Levant, yeah.
Yeah, Ezra, I want to know all about it because I believe they're Zionist shills myself. But
no doubt. I don't really listen to them anymore, but yeah, I'll ask about that. So much good stuff. All right, Lynn, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Good talking,
Kid. All right, thank you so much. There goes Lynn Ertel. There goes me. If you like this show, it's value for value. Go to fakeologist.com/donate. Or send us an email, ima@fakeologist.com. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll be here. And Thursday, we got the show with Frank. So we're going to try and get back into the swing of things. Thank you, and have a good night.